You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
There seems to be more debate than I expected about the track meet versus the defensive struggle, the defensive slugfest. Struggle makes it sound like it's not a good game. Slugfest makes it sound like tough and physical and exerting your will. Myself, I prefer a mix. I'd like some points on the board, but I also really appreciate the defense. What's not to love about what the Baltimore Ravens did, or the Dallas Cowboys did, or the Houston Texans did on defense on Sunday? What's not to love about games that feature goal line stands or huge interceptions that turn into points, whether it's immediately or whether it's on the ensuing drive? What's not to love about ground and pound? I mean, chuck and duck is great, but a good old-fashioned run game? Teams averaging 100 yards per game on the ground. Those are your teams right now that make up most of your division leaders. And so I would prefer a good mix. But this new age NFL, man, it's all about the 1,000-yard games and the 40-plus points for each team and the quarterback and the offense that has the ball last ends up with the last strike. And the last word, can we just get some balance, please? It's like balance between the run game and balance with the passing game, with the air attack. Everything in moderation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our phone number, available for you always, toll-free line, brought to you by GEICO. It's 855-212-4227. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance to go along with your car insurance, it's all available. Check it out at geico.com. So in addition to some of the great defensive performances that we had in week six, and of course the fantasy, gaudy fantasy numbers being put up on Sunday Night Football, another theme that jumped out to me was the bounce back. Week six being teams on the rebound. Now, you want consistency, so you got to be able to build on these wins. The Dallas Cowboys have got to be able to take what they had from Dak and Cole Beasley. They've got to be able to establish the run because that's when defenses have to play them straight up and can't be cheating. They've got to be able to stay that fluid and to reward their defense for playing hard. So the real test then would come next week. For all of these teams that had bounce back victories, the Baltimore Ravens are one that come to mind. Remember, they went to Cleveland and they struggled. They struggled in pretty much every way. Now, that was also a defensive slugfest, to be sure. But they ended up losing in overtime. And for the Ravens, the offense, it was frustrating. There was talk of the Michael Crabtree drops. There was talk of the fact that Alex Collins was a threat to fumble the ball. There was talk of, hey, this offense isn't quite as good. So there was a lot of that going on. And you wonder, okay, which team is going to be the one that shows up in this game against the Titans? Well, questions answered. It was a huge performance by the defense and just enough from the offense, which I will get to. But this was a record-setting day for the Ravens' flock on the defensive side of the ball.
Marcus Mariota on third down and 10. Pocket collapsing. He is going to be hit and sacked again. Za'Darius Smith with the 11th sack of the day. And with 4 minutes even, the Hayes in the barn.
Yeah, you think? Jerry Sandusky with the call on the Ravens radio network. A team record 11 sacks of poor Marcus Mariota. It's not often that I feel badly or feel anything really for professional athletes, but man, I felt bad for Mariota. The Titans, they were stuffed in every way possible. 106 yards, total for the Titans. I didn't even know that was possible. Do you know how hard that is to do? A professional football team only managing 106 yards in four quarters? Only seven first downs. But really, Mariota deserves a couple of extra days off for taking the bulk of the pounding. Baltimore dominated every bit of this game. The time of possession, keeping the ball away essentially from the Titans. But 12 of 17 on third down for the Ravens offense. So it wasn't just about the D. And they started out both halves quickly. And that obviously provides a spark on the sidelines. So in both cases, they came out of the locker rooms and had points on the board early in the halves. Joe Flacco with 238 yards. Alex Collins had a couple of rushing touchdowns. But obviously, offense, you have to kowtow to the defense on this day.
It's fun to watch when they're over there doing those kind of things. I mean, we pitched a shutout today, so that helps your offense out a ton. I think we helped them out a little bit with being able to stay on the field for a couple long drives.
So Flacco paying homage to the Baltimore defense, which is one of our options for Monday MVP. It's what I voted for. You get 11 sacks, you get my vote for Monday MVP. So you can find that on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, or you can find it on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for Mariota, and really this has been a theme for the Titans, they've used their defense at times to cover up their mistakes. But they've had a couple of different quarterbacks. They've had Marcus Mariota blame Gabbert. They've had one guy get injured, then the other guy get knocked out of a game. And so that is inconsistent. They've obviously lost Delanie Walker, who is one of their top targets, the tight end. And so they're messy. They've been scraping together wins here or there because they're gutty. They're gutty and they're gutsy and they're gritty. And they get that from their new head coach, Mike Vrabel. But man alive, as I mentioned, it's difficult to only put together 106 yards total for a game. And you have to work to be shut out in the NFL.
We couldn't make enough plays. You know, we make a good play here and there, and we hurt ourselves. So, yeah, it was tough getting in the rhythm. But you got to give credit to them. They did a good job of, getting after us and making plays.
Mariota ended up 10 of 15. 10 of 15, 117 yards. But because of the 11 sacks, a lot of that got chunked out the window. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Ravens get a big bounce back win. How about in that same division, the AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers? This was a game a lot of people were looking at against the Bengals on the road. Now, typically you get extracurricular activity. Vontaze Burfict was back, so there definitely was that. There's lots of chirping. There's lots of talking. But would there be a lot of points scored? Would the Steelers be able to limit what Andy Dalton and the offense have been able to do so far this season? And coming into the game, Bengals were 4-1. But you know what? Some things never change. Okay, I don't actually believe that. Everything changes at some point. But this is not the year. This is not the week in which the Steelers finally lose to the Bengals on the road in Cincinnati.
First and goal at the half-yard line. And the give is off the left side. James Conner plows into the end zone for the Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. His sixth of the year. Everything in tight. Conner gets the call. Conner up over the top. They haven't ruled. Touchdown. Yes, they ruled. Touchdown. Yeah.
So James Conner with another game in which he's over 100 yards rushing. And Ben Roethlisberger making a joke after the game that he's really glad that James had a strong performance on what would be his last game with them since Le'Veon Bell is supposed to return tomorrow. Remember, supposed to be coming back around their bye week potentially by the end of October. And although the Steelers say they haven't heard from him yet, it was a joke that Ben made after the game. Anyway, so James Conner, a couple of touchdown runs. This was actually a tie score at the break. And Andy Dalton was really able to pick apart the Pittsburgh secondary. A couple of different drives. You had Tyler Boyd with some long touchdowns. And then things kind of slow down a little bit, right? It gets a little more like a slugfest. Pittsburgh gets a couple of field goals. 20-14, they're up with 3.5 to go in the fourth quarter. And then the Bengals offense puts together a drive that is worthy of being a game winner. 9 plays, 75 yards. They mix in run and pass. And Joe Mixon finds pay dirt into the end zone with 1:18 left. Now, it wasn't 3 minutes like Tom Brady and the Patriots had on Sunday Night Football, but it was 1:18 to go. And history is on the side of Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers in Cincinnati. And wouldn't you know it, 3 catches for Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, none of those was made against the helmet of his corner of a defending cornerback that happened earlier in the game. That was pretty amazing. So 3 catches for Juju. And then you have the play that drives the stake into the heart of Bengals fans again.
1st and 10 at the 31 of the Bengals. Ben in the gun, 15 seconds to go. The Steelers have a timeout left.
Blitz is coming.
And here it comes, and a quick pop over the middle, running free. That's Antonio. 10-5, touchdown, Pittsburgh. You gotta be here.
Oh, baby.
Unbelievable.
Oh, we had the perfect play call. Those guys was in zero coverage. I knew when I came in and motioned down and the corner backed up, I knew we had opportunity for catch and run.
He definitely did catch it, and he definitely did run. And interesting to hear Bill Hillgrove and Tunch Ilkin on the Pittsburgh Steelers radio network mentioning the blitz. And it was this short pass, hot read, so to speak, out of that particular defensive formation. Not only did Roethlisberger spot it, but so did Antonio Brown. And so they adjust on the fly. Thus the definition of a hot read. It's a quick read like that. You got to do it in the heat of the moment. And then Brown is gone. 31 yards with just a handful of seconds left on the clock. And wouldn't you know, sometimes things do play out according to script. And I don't mean that it should be this way, only that it has been this way. The Steelers are 16-2 in Cincinnati in the 16 seasons that Marvin Lewis has been the head coach. Nerd alert! That includes a pair of playoff wins, which you may remember. The A.J. McCarron game. Remember that one a couple of years ago in which the Bengals were poised to win? And then they had the Jeremy Hill fumble and the Vontaze Burfict hit on Antonio Brown. And then you had Joey Porter out in the field. All those details. But yeah, Steelers, they kill it in Cincinnati. 16-2 against Marvin Lewis on his own field, including a couple of playoff wins. Ben Roethlisberger, 32-46 for 369 yards and the score to Antonio Brown. And Brown is one of your choices for Monday MVP, though he's not the only one. But that was a pretty impressive moment for him at a point at which the Steelers had to have it. So, no, we'll see what happens with Le'Veon Bell moving forward. Who knows? The Steelers say they don't. James Conner, though, he continues to work really hard. I like the fact that he's versatile and that he can accept more and more of the responsibility. You see him picking up blitzes. You'll see him doing whatever they ask of him. And so at the very least, it's a good problem to have, right? If you have both Bell and Connor, it's a good problem to have. If you got to figure out how to get them both reps and both snaps because they're both great options. So a bounce back win for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are now 3-2-1. The Bengals are at 4-2. So look, that's where that tie can be a detriment. Sometimes it can be a positive. It just depends on what your division looks like. The Bengals only managed 275 yards, though they did come back and take the lead inside of the final 2 minutes. The Atlanta Falcons also had a bounce back day. I don't know if it's too little too late, but another huge performance from their offense. And how about the Washington Redskins coming off that embarrassing loss on Drew Brees' special night in New Orleans? So a lot of football headlines to get to. And I would love to take your phone calls too. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to get to some QB news because lo and behold, one Brock Osweiler starting in Miami. Did you know he did not find out until Sunday morning that he would be starting in place of Ryan Tannehill? We really don't know a whole lot about Tannehill's injury. Adam Gase getting pretty testy, so we'll give you the latest that we know. A couple of rough starts for the younger quarterbacks. We're on injury watch for Josh Allen in Buffalo. Derek Carr gets hurt in London. So a lot of QB news to get to. 855-212-4227. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Take our Monday MVP poll. And then our Facebook page, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Three tight ends, the running back Coleman, Jones the receiver. Here's Ryan looping it, Coleman the catch, touchdown Atlanta. Matt spun out of there to his right, Coleman released, and it was like a tag football play, Arch. Nobody was there.
Feels good. You know, obviously, you know, we put in all the hard work during the week and prepare ourselves in order to get a win. And so it feels good. It was hard fought. You know, obviously division games are always going to be like that.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Good for the Atlanta Falcons. They finally get their second win. Lots of ways that you can look at this one, but they did some good stuff. They scored a touchdown on their first three drives, and so they had 24 points in the first half. And then they also finished the game with back-to-back scoring drives. So how about that? Starting strong, finishing strong. Matt Ryan, 31 of 41. And you heard him talk about how big this was as a divisional win in the NFC South against the Bucks. Three touchdowns, 354 yards. Julio Jones was at nearly 150 yards receiving. There was no Calvin Ridley. So Julio is taking on more of the load there and certainly had a lot of targets. Now, Jameis Winston returned for his first start since the suspension. Remember, he spelled Ryan Fitzpatrick in the last game, but this was his start. Four touchdowns, a couple of picks. One of them was pretty bad, right on the goal line. And a crazy final play in which they were desperate to make something happen. And so he keeps the ball, and then I think it went to O.J. Howard, who was trying to find Mike Evans, who then was supposed to shuffle it to DeSean Jackson, who would have walked into the end zone completely untouched. But Evans didn't catch it clean, and then Jackson couldn't handle it, and it went out of bounds. It was a good old college try. Or what was that? Oh, shoot, I don't remember the NBA game a couple years ago. Was it Celtics and Heat, where the little boy is atop the tunnel going, good job, good effort, good job, good effort. I don't remember exactly. If somebody remembers that, you can tell me, though, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. So the Falcons get their second win. And I like the fact that Dan Quinn remains positive. Now, granted, we're getting happy, Dan Quinn, because the defense held enough to be able to get that win. And because they finally get off the schneid, and they snap the losing skid. But he said, we're not that far away. They've been battling some injuries on defense, and he's remained consistent in saying that we've got what we need. We just have to execute.
I thought, you know, with the team this week, the focus and the energy was really on point. And we took them all the way through the week from Wednesday on. And we talked about the moments that test us and the moments that elevate us. And that's what today was about. It takes a lot of leaning in and making sure when that moment comes, you're able to nail it and handle it, and they just keep building. Okay, and that's what happened today.
So Dan Quinn and the Falcons getting another victory, and we'll see if they can build on it, but finally able to bounce back and use just enough of the defense to protect a magnificent offensive performance. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. CBS's Super Bowl season continues week 7. What? I can't believe we're already talking about week 7. But next Sunday, the NFL heads across the pond for a battle between the Titans and the Chargers. Next on tap, it's a doubleheader when Tom Brady and the Patriots collide with Khalil Mack and the Bears, and then a big divisional showdown, when the Cowboys and Redskins, both coming off wins, look to gain ground in the NFC East. You can wake up with the NFL today at 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 6 a.m. Pacific. Man, I'm jealous you get to start your football day so early. You start your full day of football with the NFL on CBS. 855-212-4227. Roger is listening in Jackson, Mississippi. Welcome to After Hours.
How you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
That's great. That play there with Brady and the defense guy with Kansas City, it's a little hard to really judge a person there to trying to tackle him there when you in the middle of trying to play the game with that, you know, target to call a phone on you.
Well, there was no flag called, and again, it's his job, sir. That's his job. He's a rookie defensive lineman who's attempting to tackle a quarterback, and so just like every other guy in the NFL, he has to know time and space and situation, and he admittedly said he thought Brady had gotten rid of the ball, and so he stopped playing, which you can't do. I understand the concerns of defensive players, but if they're going to stop playing, they're going to lose jobs. They can't. I mean, you got to take the risk of the flag. And in that case, it wasn't like he was about to fall on Brady. What he was worried about was that Brady wasn't going to have the ball anymore. He was dragging him down from behind. So he had two arms around his waist, kind of. It's a little below his waist. And so he's trying to drag him down. He was just worried about pulling him down after the ball had gone. But obviously, Brady still had the ball.
Well, I don't understand that. And it's a two-sided coin there. But at the same time, you're right. You can't just stop playing if you – and you lose your job if you do.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's going to be something he remembers. Now, again, there was a flag on the play somewhere else on the defense, defensive holding, I think it was. And so it pretty much takes him off the hook because the Patriots would have had first and goal at the one. But it definitely, a tough lesson to learn because he felt like it was his fault for a while there. And so now he knows. Now he's going to remember that when it comes next time.
Well, he definitely won't forget it there, and he probably won't keep more of an eye on the ball now.
Yeah.
I appreciate y'all, and y'all keep up the good work, and I'll thank you.
Thanks, Roger. Good to talk to you. Let's talk to Dan in North Carolina. Welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to see something for Super Bowl, maybe like Rams-Chargers.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it? If you ended up with two L.A. teams, that would be kind of crazy. Although maybe a little bit early, right? Because the Super Bowl I think it's supposed to be in Los Angeles coming up in the next 2 years. It might have been next year, except that I don't think the stadium's going to be done. So they might have had to push that back. I'm not exactly sure what the NFL has done with that. But, yeah, it's supposed to be in L.A. pretty soon.
Yeah, also, don't forget, Eagles-Panthers play next week. One of those teams might be on the bubble.
Man, I haven't even looked at the schedule for week 7. I can't do that till I get through week 6, and we're not done yet. But thank you.
Sounds good. Okay.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate your phone call. Yeah, sometimes I don't even know what's happening tomorrow. I mean, it's a good thing I actually know what the Monday Night Football game is, because sometimes there's just not enough room in my brain for starting to look ahead and plan ahead. Thank you so much for all of your responses to both of our questions. So we've got a Monday MVP poll. And as always, it's a mere suggestion. It's impossible to be able to pick all the great options in a Twitter poll that only allows us 4. And so frequently people get mad, but it's just a conversation starter. And then you're also answering the question of, which do you prefer, the 2018 new age, new era NFL, where honestly 1,000 total yards between the two teams and 80 points, a track meet like what we had on Sunday night, isn't all that jaw-dropping anymore. Now, it was fun to watch, but is it abnormal? Eh, not so much. 4 touchdown games for quarterbacks is becoming pretty, it's becoming pretty average. It's becoming pretty frequent. And we'll look back on this 2018 season and we'll get to see big picture how many passing records were broken. But man, it could be like the home run records in Major League Baseball the last couple of years. They could all be shattered for single season marks. Do you prefer defensive slugfests, physical, in your face, smash mouth? I kind of do. I'm a defensive girl. I prefer pitcher's duels and defensive battles, but I know I'm in the minority. So you can find me on Twitter or on Facebook, A-Law Radio. I got to go record a CBS Sports Minute, if you don't mind. And when I get back, we'll do some QB news. There's a lot to cover. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Oh, there's so much QB news. Week 6 in the NFL. And who knows what we might get from Monday Night Football with C.J. Beathard and Aaron Rodgers, our starting quarterbacks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of starters, we didn't find out until Sunday morning there would be no Ryan Tannehill. He's got a sore throwing shoulder. Adam Gase, head coach of the Dolphins, very cryptic about the injury, may not even know how serious it is or isn't. However, they did have to go with Brock Osweiler, who has said he's thrilled to be reunited with his former offensive coordinator from Denver, now the head coach in Miami, in Adam Gase. And wouldn't you know it, this was the Brock Osweiler who was able to produce a career high in yards.
Back to throw. Plenty of time. Throws over to Albert Wilson. Wilson cuts it upfield. Breaks the tackle. 40. Makes the cut. He's at midfield. He may go at the 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Miami.
Unbelievable. Oh, what a play.
Oh, no.
Albert Wilson takes a short pass. Takes it to the house.
Here is Jason Sanders. 47 yards. The kick is up. The kick is good.
He hit the kick.
No. Oh, no.
Jason Sanders has won the game for the Miami Dolphins.
No flags. It's over.
Jimmy Cephalo and Bob Greasy. I don't understand why he keeps saying, oh, no, oh, no. Isn't this a good thing that Brock Osweiler had the late touchdown to Albert Wilson and that Brock threw for a career-high 380 yards, three touchdowns, of course, a couple of interceptions. But how about in overtime against the Chicago Bears, the first ever attempt at a game-winning kick for the rookie Jason Sanders? And as you hear on the Dolphins Radio Network, as time expires, 47 yards. Good. And here's an interesting twist, something you may not have known, even if you watched the game. There was a big fumble by Kenyon Drake on the goal line as the Dolphins were attempting to win this one. And after he fumbled, he was sitting on the bench by himself. And who should come over and sit down next to him but Brock Osweiler? And Brock had some encouraging and somewhat prophetic words in overtime for his running back.
I went up to Drake right before Chicago kicked the field goal, and I just said, hey, listen, they're going to miss this field goal, and I need you to bring the swagger and confidence you've been playing with all day. And he looked me in the eye, and he said, okay. And sure enough, he's the guy who made the big play to get us in the field goal range. So if that doesn't talk about working through adversity and mental toughness, I don't know what is, but that's an example of mental toughness at its finest.
How about an example of leadership from one Brock Osweiler? So he goes up to his running back, who's just fumbled on the one-yard line in overtime. He was a yard away from ending the game and then had to sit through what turned out to be a missed field goal by Cody Parkey of the Bears, only to have the Dolphins and Drake get another chance. And what does he do on that second drive? Well, he ends up turning a short pass from Osweiler into a 15-yard gain that helped to put them in field goal range for the game-winning kick. So the Dolphins get a victory. They're now at 4-2 while the Bears fall to 3-2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Another veteran quarterback hurt as well. This one happened across the pond in London with 84,922, a record number of fans at Wembley Stadium to watch the Seahawks manhandle the Raiders. Midway through the fourth quarter, the sixth sack of the day on Derek Carr, and there was a hit to his upper left arm. Now, he got pulled from the game. There wasn't another offensive drive. However, John Gruden wouldn't have allowed Derek Carr to go back in the game.
Yeah, he wanted to stay and play. I made a decision. If we did get the ball back, we'd go to McCarron. Just too much fire today. Too much fire around a quarterback. Credit to Seahawks, and we've got to do a lot better, obviously.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of disaster moments for the Raiders in London. Doesn't matter if they're in London or in Northern California. They really could not run the ball a ton. Carr had two lost fumbles. Again, he was under pressure, as you hear John Gruden say. Even a bigger deal, and who knows how bad the Derek Carr injury is, hopefully coming off their bye week, then he'll be good to go. But Amari Cooper, a nasty helmet-to-helmet hit over the middle of the field, and no flag, and he ends up in concussion protocol. I don't understand. The guy didn't concuss himself. I saw the likes of Dean Blandino on Twitter afterwards talking about how there definitely should have been a flag. It certainly does seem to me that, yes, you get any kind of a flag if there's a hit to the head, neck, or shoulders, or the midsection or the legs of a quarterback. But when it comes to defensive players who are getting hit helmet to helmet, so an offensive player lowering his head, when it comes to collisions in the field that are away from the ball and you can see the helmet to helmet contact, guys getting knocked over, when it comes to a guy like an Amari Cooper, a receiver, a defenseless player, and he gets tagged helmet to helmet, for some reason the flags are not there. And it's frustrating because quarterbacks are not the only guys on the field who matter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of quarterbacks getting hurt, for the Buffalo Bills, late third quarter, their rookie QB, Josh Allen, has to leave the game with an injury. He's still being evaluated, the last we heard. But wouldn't you know, Nathan Peterman enters the game for the Bills and Sean McDermott.
Second and 10, Bills from their 25. One back, McCoy, Peterman in the gun. Two receivers left, one to the right side. Peterman takes the snap. He's looking left. He throws that way. It's picked off by Jonathan Joseph across the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. The Texans go in front on the pick six.
Ouch. Nathan Peterman is who we thought he was. He ends up with a couple of interceptions. Credit the Texans defense. Jonathan Joseph able to return that ball, that interception, for a touchdown, which is the go-ahead score. Broke a tie, a 28-yard pick six. Meanwhile, Peterman goes 6 of 12 in replacing Josh Allen, only 61 yards. He did have a touchdown, but two interceptions, both of them late in the fourth quarter, which sealed the fate of the Bills. As for Allen, his elbow injury is still being evaluated again. That's the last we know. Here's what else we know about the quarterback depth chart, though. The Bills have signed Derek Anderson, who was retired from football. And they may very well have to use him because Nathan Peterman does not seem to be a viable option. Peterman understands that a lot of this is resting on him, and he almost sounds resigned.
I just take it day by day, honestly, and that's always been my mentality. It's one step at a time, you know, one play at a time, and just got to learn from things and see what happens.
Peterman's appeared in 7 games, including the wild card playoff loss last season. He was a 5th-round pick in 2017, so not a ton of experience. But in those 7 games, he's thrown 10 interceptions. And we all remember his debut last November, in which he had 5 in the first half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Ryan Tannehill, with an injury that keeps him from playing for the Dolphins. Then Derek Carr, getting benched essentially by John Gruden, though they didn't end up having to use A.J. McCarron because the Seahawks never gave the ball back. Josh Allen now hurt. Will it be Nathan Peterman moving forward? Will Allen be able to recover? It wasn't an injury that kept Baker Mayfield off the field, but first half of their game against the Chargers, he goes running out of bounds and appeared to slip on a first down marker, you know, one of those neon orange markers that's laying on the field to help to mark the chains and to give guys on the sidelines a visual so they know where they're running to. And it looked like he slipped on the one that was laying there on the field as he went out of bounds and twisted his ankle a little bit. So he definitely did have a sore ankle. It did not help that he was under pressure all day long from the Chargers. They sacked him 5 times and hit him 9 other times in this game. So he was also under duress a ton. His numbers of his start so far, this was probably the bleakest when it comes to the stats. 22 of 46, 238 yards. He had a touchdown. He also had a couple of interceptions.
We didn't execute. We didn't do our job. We weren't detailed. We didn't do the things that we talked about all week. That's the most disappointing thing.
That was disappointing. Obviously, give San Diego a lot of credit. Came in here and they played well. We didn't play as well, and I take total responsibility for that.
So Hugh Jackson and his quarterback Baker Mayfield spewing the same word. That was disappointing. Yeah, I definitely think it was, because there was so much excitement for the Cleveland Browns. Hosting the Chargers, a good gauge for them, especially their defense having played so well in the first 5 weeks of the season. And it just was like a snowball rolling downhill and picking up steam and kind of taking the Browns with it. Credit Melvin Gordon and also Phillip Rivers, who's playing really solid to start this season and not getting a lot of attention because he's not a young buck. He's not a spring chicken among the quarterbacks in the NFL, but he's having a really good first month and a half, and they've got great balance in their offense. And how about the defense too for the Chargers, putting pressure on Mayfield, who can definitely scramble, but they were getting to him every time he took a snap. So those are some quarterback injuries to keep your eyes and ears on. And if you're keeping score at home, you know that I always have a running tally of the number of teams that use multiple quarterbacks because of either injuries or ineptitude. Sometimes it could be both. But now in week number 6, we are up to 10. So Packers, Titans, Bills, Browns, Eagles, Niners, Cardinals, Bucks, Dolphins, and then the Broncos briefly for Denver because you had Case Keenum in concussion protocol. And no, that's not a good thing. But there are a lot of people on social media wondering if it was Chad Kelly time, if this was going to be it. All right, we're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. As always, we've got our Monday MVP up, so you can find us. A-Law Radio, take the poll or send your own write-in vote. Facebook too. And do you prefer a track meet in this new age of the NFL or a defensive slugfest? It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.